chapter, verse number 10. Moses delivers this before the children of Israel enter into the promised land. He was not allowed to see the promised land, but he just wanted to remind them. You know, a part of our job as Christians, especially as parents, is to remind our children, to remind our children, to remind our children. And verse number 10 says, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee." When you're full, bless him when you're full. You know, we ask God when we don't have, but do we thank him when we do have? I woke up this morning and on my mind was, God, there isn't anything that I need except you. And many of us can just say that. We're living in a wonderful country. We have many opportunities. Verse 11, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage." Don't forget God. Don't forget God. You know, you might think it's because of your brain cells or good work ethic, but you know what? It is God that brought you into a place of blessing and protection and healing. I said Wednesday night, Brother Coffey did a marvelous job in preaching the Word of God. I said I was raised on a farm, and the thing that I saw over and over again was horses and cows and sheep standing in knee-high grass, reaching their heads through the fence to get a bite of something that was beyond the fence. What's wrong with them? How can they not be satisfied with where they're at and what God has already given them? And folks, we're standing in knee-high blessings. We have so much. And we cannot complain because God's blessed us beyond what we deserve. But it's his good pleasure to give. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the Word of God. There's been an anointing in this place. Allow it to continue. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd also like you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalms 103, an incredible scripture. Psalms 103, starting in verse number 1. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are opposed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel." Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. That phrase is found 15 times in Scripture. The word bless means an act of adoration, to kneel before him, to raise your hands, to lift your voice, to give to his cause, to sacrifice for others. Be faithful. Trust him in everything. Could it be that we bless him the most when we find ourselves in trouble and don't have what we need. But then when we do have everything, and somebody in here must be in a good place, and does that still allow you to bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me? I was talking to Brother East yesterday morning at the minister's meeting about his son's cancer treatment, and he just took his last chemo, or at least the last round of chemo, and I said, so how is he doing? And he said, well, it really doesn't look good as far as the doctors are concerned, but all we can do is trust God and bless his name. Bless his name. And I thought, you know, that's exactly the position every one of us are in. No matter what situation we're in, we need to bless the name of the Lord. Could it be that people ask God to do what they can't do all the time, heal them, deliver them, defend them, bring peace, situations in their life they can't handle, and they don't see the results of such a prayer for one simple reason? They didn't bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. It was first, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And as we continue to read in this scripture, that he then gives us benefits and forgiveth all of our iniquities and healeth all of our diseases, redeems us from life of destruction and crowneth with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfies thy mouth with good things and thy youth renewed as eagles. But there's a prerequisite. If you will bless God, then God's saying, okay, here it is. Here's what you need, you see. But first, it's bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Will we remember to bless God with everything we have so God can respond to our needs? I know this is very simplistic, but I think it's more important than you can imagine that we need to bless God first before we can actually ask God for a blessing. This is not a welfare society where God owes us anything. When was the last time you blessed the Lord to that extent? Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So God's saying, listen, if you put me first, if you put righteousness first, I am guaranteeing you that all of these things that you're seeking after, as the Gentiles seek after, I'm going to give them to you. You can struggle to get them, but I want to give them to you. You young people need to get this down in your cranium that, listen, it's not about what I can make of myself, but what God can make of me, you see. If I live the life that I'm supposed to live, hallelujah. Nothing frustrates a saint more than unanswered prayer, but are our priorities straight? Can God really step up and answer our prayer? Isaiah 65:24, God says this, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Wouldn't that be the greatest thing in the whole world? God already is answering our prayers before they ever leave our mouth. He wants to. Whether we understand it or not, God is always with us, always ready to help. He will never abandon us, ever leave us, because he paid too much for us. Jesus said in John 14, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live and ye shall live also. I will not leave you comfortless or orphans. I will come unto you. So he's constantly confirming, I'm going to be with you. Don't you worry about it. Things might look a little shaky. You might be a little frightened at a diagnosis or a pink slip or whatever is going on in your life. But don't worry. I'm going to be with you all of the time. 3.5 years, the disciples, the apostles, heard that over and over, reassuring them, be of good cheer, peace be unto you. But then soon after, they're afraid. Would you turn to Luke, the 24th chapter? Luke chapter 24 and verse 36. It says, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Well, they're all hiding. They're all in a little room. They got the doors barred, you know, and they're thinking, you know, this is not good. It happened to our Savior. He couldn't stop it, and now they're going to be coming for us. And he's in the midst of them and says, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone as ye see me. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. It's amazing how fast people disappear when problems appear. It's amazing how your friends aren't there when you've got trouble. You know, when everybody is in a good frame of mind and have plenty, well, you have all kinds of people who want to be around you. But then when you're sick or you're accused or you have a need, not long before this scene, Jesus had a multitude of people who were around him all at a time, throngs of people who just wanted to get to him, singing, Hosanna in the highest, blessed be the name of the Lord, cutting down greenery and throwing their coats in front of him. He fed them and healed them, and he raised their dead. They pressed in on him, tore off a roof in order to get to him, walked around the Sea of Galilee to follow him without any kind of food, climbed trees to see him. Very seldom was Jesus ever alone because people wanted what Jesus could give them, but when trouble came, Jesus died alone. His followers were frightened, even paranoid. Instead of being at his side, they stood afar off. They were worried about their own Calvary. They secluded themselves, locked themselves in a small room, out of touch with the world. But more importantly, they were out of touch with God because of their fear. And so many times, people are out of touch with God because of their fear. Fear of what is going to happen in the future. And God keeps saying, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you. I will not leave you comfortless, folks. That wasn't just a line that he said for his disciples, but he's saying it to every one of us. Perhaps thinking these people were thinking every carpenter is building a cross for them. They were paranoid, trust no one, locked the doors, closed the windows, shaken the sandals, just as their eyes had lost their glossy look. A man appeared in the center of the room. His name was Jesus. This was not supposed to happen. They didn't expect that Jesus was going to walk through a wall, didn't expect that he was going to come to their rescue. They didn't know if they should run or hide or scream or pass out. They didn't know if he was in the flesh or it was a spirit. Is this a ghost? Sometimes Jesus will surprise you. Hallelujah. They were all pinned against the wall and they thought they saw a spirit. So Jesus finally issued a challenge. He said, come here. Handle me. Verify by contact. And every time we walk in here, I don't know how your week has been going. I don't know how your year has been going. You might be in a situation that is almost unbearable, but what God is saying is, come on over here and verify by contact that I am with you. One of my favorite songs is, let me feel your spirit one more time. Reassure me, Lord, that I am thine. I will never doubt, you surely brought me out. Nothing reassures you more than contact with God. When's the last time you had contact with God? When's the last time you felt his touch? When's the last time you pressed into his presence? He's just waiting for you to press into his presence, and he can take care of the fear. He can walk through a wall. I don't care if it's in ER. I don't care if it's in bankruptcy. I don't care where it is. God can be with you. And more importantly, God wants to be with you. But Moses warned, you know, when you're full and you have a goodly house and everything is wonderful, it doesn't seem there's a real urgency in order to press in to the presence. I know all about God. I've heard hundreds and thousands of sermons. I've heard it all, Pastor, you know. You can't tell me anything I don't know. Well, that's good information, and it's a nice book report, but it's not about a book report. It's not about information. It's about verifying that God is right next to you by his touch. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 3.5 years they had been close, but now, because of trouble, they were out of touch with Jesus. Now they didn't just touch him, but I gotta believe they started hugging on Jesus and wouldn't let him go. Amen. That's about what happened with each of us. We went through the religion scenario, but when we got in a spirit-filled church and then all of a sudden the hands of God were on us, we just didn't want to let go. We didn't want to miss a church service. We didn't want to miss a prayer meeting. We just wanted a more his touch on each and every one of us. If you haven't gotten a hold of Jesus lately, you too may be frightened of some things that are going on in your life. But if you've gotten a hold of Jesus, I'm telling you, the fear has to leave. Hallelujah. Don't wait to figure things out. Maybe you're never going to figure things out. All you have to do is feel after him, knowing that he can figure things out. He's already got the program planned. Jesus asked one who had touched him, the woman with the issue of blood. She tried everything her way, and it just didn't work. And so she heard about this place. She heard about this church in Caledonia. She heard about a place that has the miraculous going. And so she pressed in, and she touched him. And of course, virtue had gone out of him. Jesus indicated that it wouldn't be hard to tell the one who had touched him, because it drew part of him from him into her. And when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, it's when we are touched by God and a part of his power jumps on us, and all of a sudden we have power to overcome. We have power to see miracles happen. And if you don't know who it is, just look for the one with the joy on their face. And the excitement to be, I was glad when they said unto me. If you're sad when they say unto you, oh, you're kidding, church again? I was talking to a saint after prayer a couple of weeks ago, and I was reminded of all of the Bible studies that I've taught over the years, literally hundreds and hundreds of Bible studies. Some I've taught 2 and 3 Bible studies, full Bible studies too, and many came into the church and became solid saints. Some of you are sitting here. But some never got a hold of God for themselves. Some never got a hold of God for themselves. They took the information and they filed it away, but they never got a hold. I'm glad that we're operating in a tangible religion, one where we really have a physical relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And today, those who never got a hold of God aren't here. I have grieved over them. God manifests himself to them in their life, and then something happened. They were offended or distracted or lured by the world or lured by the flesh, and they never tried to get a hold of God again, you know? I've lost contact with some people and haven't had contact. Thursday night, believe it or not, this is going to be hard for you to believe, I had my 52nd class reunion from high school. And thank God they had those name tags with the picture from the annual on the name tag, so I could look at that picture and, oh yeah, I remember who you are. And there were old, old people in that room, folks. I'm telling you, old, old people. I thought they all should have walkers. And I left that place thinking I must have, you know, some special vitamin tonic that I've been taking, because unless my mirrors are deceiving me, but I was in contact with people that I hadn't seen in over 50 years. Amen. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, folks, don't think there isn't a reward for living for God. You see, if you can be faithful to God's house, faithful in prayer, faithful in worship, when you don't feel like worshiping, oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And God says, okay, I have to satisfy you, and I have to renew your youth as an eagle, and I have to give you that which the world does not have access to. Submit yourself to the word of God, even though others feel that it's not important. Nothing could have pried people away from the house of God who have decided, I'm going to be faithful. It is a miracle that any of us are saved, but it is our responsibility to say, to stay saved, not somebody else's. You are not my responsibility to stay saved. It's your responsibility to stay saved. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Luke, the 13th chapter? Luke 13 and verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. You know, one of the problems I have when I came into the church, 1977, I saw this, it was plain. I was one of these kind of people that I want to know what the Word of God says. Doesn't matter what somebody's opinion is, I want to know. And if this is truth, what about all of the people who have, well, they have the right attitude, but they just don't have truth? Could all of them not be in a position to be saved? And so with logic, I'm trying to say now it just doesn't make any sense. There are sincere people who love God, and it's very true. But the Bible says that on the day you seek me with all your heart, that's the day you find me. Because when you seek him with all your heart, then you want to conform to what the Word of God says, and that's where the power is, that's where the liberty is, where the Spirit of the Lord is. There's liberty, there is joy unspeakable and full of glory, to the point where you have this incredible relationship with God, not a relationship with a body of people or even a minister, you see. And so he's saying, there are few. Jesus is saying, there are few. Matthew 7 and 13, Jesus said, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow, the word narrow here in the Greek means a rut or worn track, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, I've used this illustration over and over again, but it's so relevant to the scripture, and it's so relevant to our lives that, you know, some people think that we're just in a rut, that we go to church on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings, and we come on Wednesdays, and we teach Bible studies, and we live according to the Word of God, and we're doing this over and over and over every Sunday, and then we repeat it the next week, and the next week, and the next week, and we're following a straight line. And what happens is we are in a rut. When I was in the Army, they called that rut a foxhole that protected us from enemy fire. And you know what? If you don't continue to get in that rut and doing the same thing over and over and over again, there's a good chance that you're going to be lost, because you're not consistent in what God is saying. And I want to be one of those few that are saved. I want to be one of those that when we hear the sound of the trumpet, I'm going to be gone in a twinkling of an eye. So it would seem that the majority of people will not enter into the kingdom of God. But those who overcome the obstacles and are in a rut of going to church, being faithful to God and His Word, and pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God over and over again. Don't ever get to the place where you feel like, oh my, we're just doing the same thing over and over again. No, no, you don't understand what's at stake, folks. You just don't understand what's at stake. You don't understand the benefits. He loadeth us down daily with benefits because we're in a rut. We're going through a straight gate, you see. First, we must enter in at the right door, the narrow door, and then be consistent in living for God, because it's the consistency that protects us from all of the things that we're exposed to. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 22, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." You know what? If you're not hated, if you're not accused, if you're not getting some kind of flack from somebody saying, "What is wrong with you? God doesn't expect you to do all of that." Really, how can you tell me what God expects when I see the Word of God and what He tells me I should be doing? And if we're not getting some of that flack, maybe we're not really where we're supposed to be. I said it the other day, I need to have some irate parents calling me saying, "What are you doing to my kid?" You know? Just trying to get them to heaven, folks. That's all. We need to enter in at the right door and finish at the right gate. Amen. Jesus said to the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3 and 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Hallelujah. He stands at the door and he's knocking. Most people have heard the knock and they've ignored it. So it is with every person. Every person has to open the door. I've said this too. When I went to parochial school and church years ago, before I came into truth, there was a great big mural on the wall, and it was Jesus standing with a lamb in his arm and knocking at a door. And you know, every service that I went as a child, I'm looking at that picture. It has been indelibly printed on my brain. But what I never recognized is there was no doorknob on the outside of the door. It had to be open from the inside. And there are times when God speaks to you in a small, quiet voice, and he's asking you to open the door. He's there ready to heal you or help you or put it back together for you, but you're the one who has to take the first step. You're the one who has to open the door. Hallelujah. He knocks. He speaks to our inner mind, hoping that we will take steps towards God. There are two doors that we must go through in order to make it to heaven. Two doors. The first door we must open on our own. But the second door
God opens for us. It is the door into the kingdom of God that we open, the realm of God that we open. The way is restricted and so narrow that you can only enter in one person at a time. God does not save groups of people. He saves individuals based on their commitment, not on a church commitment or a family commitment. Would you turn to John 3:3? There may be two people in here who have never seen this scripture. John 3:1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. In other words, he was first in rank in that religious order. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou hast doest except God be with him. You see, truth is confirmed by the miraculous. These signs shall follow them that believe. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, Now, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? We're not talking about another natural birth. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So what God is saying, unless you were born of the water, we're talking about baptism, and born of the Spirit, which is the infilling of the Holy Ghost, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We're not talking about heaven here. The word kingdom means the realm of God. You are not able to get into a place where you evidence the miracles, the touch, the revelation of God. You open the scriptures and you see things you have never seen before because you have entered into a realm of God that the world does not have access to. We don't see it. So once we have gone through the door to enter into the realm of God or kingdom of God, we all get boarding passes to wait for the one and only flight out to heaven. Hallelujah. I don't know how many got a boarding pass, but I've been holding my boarding pass for a whole lot of years. I don't know if you've ever been in an airport, sitting in an airport waiting for your flight to take off, and you get there an hour early or even more now. And so you think, oh, I don't want to just sit here. I think I'll take a walk around. Maybe I'll get something to eat or look at a magazine or something. But always you're listening for your flight to be called. And you don't want to be so preoccupied with some kind of trinket or looking at a magazine that they called your flight and you missed it. I've been close from time to time, but I never want to miss my flight. I have never missed my flight, and that's what we're doing this morning. We're all sitting here with boarding passes, and we're all waiting for the flight to be called, folks. You see, We can't be preoccupied with work or family or church activities or vacations or building or putting something together for us or eating. We can't be preoccupied by something and then all of a sudden when the trumpet sounds, we're not close enough to get to the gate. We're in the waiting area. You're at the right gate. It's the church. Waiting to hear the trumpet sound for our flight to take off, and we can't allow ourselves to get preoccupied with life that we miss the only flight out. It's not two raptures. There's only one. If you've missed it, you've missed it for eternity. A good start doesn't matter if you are preoccupied and don't make it to the finish line.
I'm so tired of pastors who simply say, you know, do your best. You know, it's not enough to do your best. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I want this church to be endued with power. I want us to have such a move of God in every time we gather together that every person who walks in here just says, oh my, there's something here that I've never experienced before. That's the kind of church I came into, and hopefully that's the kind of church your relatives will come into. Jesus said there would be obstacles and that we had to strive to enter in. And the word strive means to struggle, contend with an adversary. And I'm telling you, there's going to be contention in our life because we're standing for truth and everybody wants to strip us of that truth. More should be said about the power that we receive when we hold on to our boarding pass and won't let anybody take it out of our hands. Too many leave in the middle of the conflict, or perhaps they just got tired of waiting for the flight to take off. Old story Brother Putnam used years ago. His daughter wanted to go to a concert, and she saved up for months and months in order to pay for the ticket to the concert. And they got there, and it was just tremendous. The music was just like she thought it was going to be. And then... they dismissed, and she went out into the lobby, and they got a little bite to eat, and then they left. And 2 days later, Brother Putnam, she was still living at home, she screams, and he came running up to her room and says, honey, what's wrong? And she said, I can't believe it. We left in the intermission. It was only half over, and we could have been there for that last act. Don't leave in the intermission, folks. Don't get to the place where you're so full and everything is wonderful. Oh, hallelujah. We had good church last month. Wasn't that a great service? And it's summertime. Hallelujah. One more scripture. Would you turn to Genesis, the 32nd chapter? Genesis chapter 2, 32, and verse 22. Jacob's in a dilemma. He's in a struggle. His brother's coming, 400 men to kill him. And everything that he loves in life is with him. His family, his wealth, his goods. And so he sends his family ahead, and he wants to get a hold of God. Verse 22, and he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. So everything is across the water. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when God saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, this is Jacob, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Folks, we need to get the attitude, I'm going to get a hold of God, and I'm not going to let go until he blesses me. It's not a bless me service. Oh, I came to church. I've been coming to church. I've been faithful. I've been tithing. No. Maybe we need to get to the place where we're so determined to get a hold of God
that we won't let him go until he blesses us real good this morning and he changes our name and gives us the power that we need to overcome any situation in our life. Hallelujah. So the first door we entered one by one. It's a narrow gate, and we need to develop a rut or pattern of living for God, doing that which pleases God over and over again, staying on the straight path and in the right track. And one day, another door is going to be open, the second door. It is the door to heaven, which only can be opened by God. Amen. Turn to Revelation, the fourth chapter. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1, it says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. God opens, this has not happened yet, folks, but God will open a door for each and every one of us. And truly, this is the last scripture. 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, verse number 13. Paul speaks to a church at Thessalonica about somebody who has died, and he says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, verse 13, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, it's not my opinion, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This is the second door that God's opening, but you have to go through the first door before you can get to the second door. Hallelujah. God has an opening for each and every one of us. I want to continue to do well. I want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But he can't say those things unless I was good, unless I was faithful. And there are some who want to make the door wider, access easier, but you know, it's one at a time. And he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And I just want to hold on to God. Hold on to God. I want to get to the place where every day it's, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. And then God is obligated to take care of. If for some reason, some things as you've been asking God have not appeared as yet, maybe you need to start at the beginning of that scripture and bless God with everything you have. And then see if God wouldn't open a window for you and pour out a blessing that you don't have room enough in order to contain. Amen. Do you love him this morning? Would you stand with me? Brother Jones said something yesterday. He said, you know what I'm seeing is I'm seeing a trend. I'm seeing a trend that pastors think that what they want to do is they want to preach some soft message on us Sunday morning, and they're even telling people, don't become so demonstrative in your worship because we're going to scare people off. And it gives God nothing to work with. You know, if you're a visitor here this morning, you came here to see something and feel something different than you've ever. You want to enter into a realm of God, a place, a power, a place where you can receive something from God. So we're not part-time Christians. We want full-time benefits. And we're going to give it everything that we possibly can. And Brother Jones said, listen, you know what? It's not about what we can produce. It's what God can produce. Amen. A lasting product. And he can keep what he has saved. Amen. The altar is open. Would you come?